This is Social Entrepreneur with Rachel Armstrong of Farm Commons.
There were sneaky problems creeping up in our community that we didn't know how to deal with. There were questions we didn't know how to answer. So I figured, how hard could it be? I better go to law school.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, you'll hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur and today's guest, Rachel Armstrong of Farm Commons. Now, if you think about sustainable farmers, they grow food in a way that respects the environment and the communities in which they live. But that means that their business model, it doesn't exactly fit the cookie cutter model that the legal mold has set up for conventional commodity style farms. And so Farm Commons, what they do is they create educational forums and they cultivate the leadership of individual farmers to help shape the law. Now, when I first heard that phrase, help shape the law, what I really thought Rachel meant by that is that farmers go and lobby in the state and national capitals and try to get farm law changed. And there is some of that that happens, but most law with small and medium enterprises, the biggest impact of the law is in the contracts that we write. And so Rachel sets about with her organization, Farm Commons, to empower the local farmers to rewrite farm law by and for themselves, and they do that by writing better contracts. Now, Rachel is an interesting case because she grew up on a farm. She really wanted to be a farmer, but her mom said, that's a terrible idea because the farming life is very difficult. Rural people are disadvantaged in so many ways. But when she went to college, she fell in love with farming again. And that led to this story of Farm Commons. So here she is, Rachel Armstrong of Farm Commons.
Now, for the small business owner, farmers included, so much of the law that affects them is not the law that's created by legislators in Capitol buildings somewhere. So much of the law that the small business owner interacts with are things like the leases for the ground on which they farm. It's the sales contracts through which they sell their product. It's the partnership agreement that affects how they're working with their grandmother, their brother, their daughter. Those are the relationships that really matter every day to the farm business owner. They're also the issues on which so many farm businesses rise or fall. It isn't necessarily about the rules and regulations. It's about our relationships. Those relationships, they follow according to the paperwork, ideally, the paperwork that underscores them. If I'm in business with my mother, ideally, we're going to have a partnership agreement between us. It's going to say how we make decisions, how we move forward, who is responsible for what. If we get into a problem, if we get into a disagreement, ideally, we're going to go to that partnership agreement. We're going to have a way to solve that problem. When farmers write good paperwork, they're creating solutions that help them go forward. And they're also writing farm law. That is farm law. It is that paperwork. At Farm Commons, we like to say paperwork can be revolutionary. It's not just boring. These things create stable, resilient farm businesses. And that's really what we're about.
That paperwork can be revolutionary. I don't know anyone who would have that as a slogan. I will not wear that t-shirt. I'm sorry. I'm the world's worst at administrative trivia. And yet, that's where the law comes in, right?
Yes. Those leases matter. And when they're not written down, the farmer is in a less advantageous position. They're less stable and less resilient when they don't come to consensus with landowners on a huge variety of issues. The more innovative the farmer is and the more sustainable their practices are, the more vulnerable they become. that's not what the law has come to understand the farm business model as. So even though what they're doing is amazing and beautiful for communities and for the land, it may not be respected in a court of law simply because it's unusual. Sustainable farmers need to protect themselves. They need to make sure that they are memorializing the things that the relationships that they have in the community, whether it's sellers, you know, employees, all of that. And that by doing that, they are building up the legitimacy and the resiliency of the sustainable farming community as a whole.
You're helping these farmers to really sustain their business as well as their agricultural practices. So how do you do that?
Well, the first thing that we do is we help educate farmers about how the law affects them. We do that in a variety of ways. Our website has a number of, a healthy number, somewhere around 70, free resources on all aspects of farm law. So folks can go there and they can learn. We host workshops. We travel around the country hosting workshops in different farming communities about farm law. But we don't stop at education. Education is not enough to really build the stability and resiliency of the community. And it's not enough to rewrite farm law. We need farmers to take action, to go beyond knowing things into doing things. We also want sustainable farm law to be written by and for sustainable farmers. So empowerment is absolutely essential to what Farm Commons does. Making sure that the knowledge that we're fostering in communities is the knowledge of the people who live there. It's the knowledge of those farmers. We don't stroll into communities and bestow the gift of, you know, legal content on people. Farmers have been running amazing businesses for centuries, longer than that. They know what they're doing. We help them leverage the knowledge, the experience that they have inside, and frame that in terms of how the law is going to understand it. So our education isn't the bestowing of a gift. It really is the growing of what is already in these communities. Our education leads to that, but also the follow-up support that we give communities after we do a workshop. You know, the questions that we answer, the things that we see happen, the way that knowledge grows in that local community.
You're providing workshops. You're providing ongoing support. Is that right?
We do, yes. We handle questions from folks who attend our workshops afterwards. We help folks as they follow our recommendations. So, you know, let's say a farmer attends our workshop and we say, gosh, the best way that you can manage liability for injuries on your property is to get a good insurance policy. Now, to do that, you need to talk with your agent. So great, somebody goes home, they talk to their insurance agent. What's going to happen then? You know, we need to make sure that we are providing that sort of follow-up support. Well, okay, did your insurance agent understand your concerns? Did they help you understand whether your policy covers for the specific risks of, say, that classroom full of one-year-olds that just showed up in a bus on your doorstep? You covered for that. You know, did you get the answers you need? How can we help you move forward with that? And then once that farmer understands how their insurance policy affects their farm, how can they share that information with those around them? Their other farmers need to know that too. Maybe they establish a really good relationship with that insurance agent. That's an asset. We need to promote that. We need to make sure other farmers in the area know about that asset. So yeah, follow-up support, and then it's the networking that we inspire through our workshops as well.
So how do you make money out of all that?
Okay, so right now Farm Commons is almost entirely funded by grants and foundations. There was an idea early on that we might be able to make money through the sale of legal services. I did a lot of research when I was in law school and I was forming up this organization. I did a lot of research on whether or not farmers use attorneys. Should come as no surprise that they don't. They don't use attorneys at rates that far exceed their non-farming small business counterparts. Why? The top two reasons why farmers don't use attorneys are, one, attorneys don't understand farming, and number two, attorneys don't help. Mm. So I went into this thinking, fabulous, cost is not the barrier here. The barrier is showing that Farm Commons understands farming. We can do that. The other barrier is making sure that what we provide is help. So often, attorneys are seen as the department of no. You got a good idea? No. You know, you want to do that cool thing? No. That's risky. That's prohibited. You know, that's not going to work. I thought, okay, Farm Commons can move beyond that. We're going to help make possible these cool things that farmers are doing. Well, the reality is there's still no demand for legal services. And that's fine. That's fine. So my original conception of the Farm Commons business model is not viable. However, we have found some earned revenue streams in working with non-governmental organizations and governments, because we have tremendous expertise in sustainable farm law, and because we create high quality educational resources, other nonprofits and governmental units are looking for that. So we do earn some revenue that way.
You mentioned that there's like philanthropic capital behind you or grant capital behind you. So who are some of the supporters of Farm Commons?
Our biggest supporter is the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We receive a number of grants through that agency. They are committed to effective risk management on American farms. So we help make that happen. We also receive money through Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education, part of USDA. So that's a big one. And then we do receive money from foundations that are interested in social entrepreneurship and in sustainable food system development.
So your personal journey, Rachel, you mentioned that you were thinking about this back in college. So how did you become this sort of, you know, expert in legal advice in sustainable farming? How did those two pieces come together?
Well, I'll start by telling you, I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be an attorney when I grew up. Instead, I wanted to be a farmer when I grew up. So I grew up in rural northern Minnesota on the land that my father was born on and that his father before him farmed on. It's been a part of my family's heritage. Growing food and respecting where food comes from was part and parcel of my childhood. I imagined myself becoming a farmer, but I changed my mind a little bit when my mother said, "That's a terrible idea. That's a hard life. That's no way to get by." And I started to realize that in many ways she was right. The farming life is very difficult. Rural life is hard. The disadvantages that folks in rural areas suffer in terms of schooling, in terms of access to information simply through the internet, the financial resources available, rural people are disadvantaged in so many ways. So like a lot of young rural people, I said, I'm not sticking around here. You know, I'm going elsewhere. I did that. I went to Madison, Wisconsin. But the funny thing is, in Madison, Wisconsin, I found an incredible farming community that was everything that I had thought of as a child, as that farming could be. There were folks selling directly to consumers, folks who were farming in a way that really respected the environment, and they were making money. They were making a future for their children in that way of life. That to me was everything that I had hoped for, and I dove right into the sustainable agriculture community. I did everything. I managed a community garden. I worked on farms. I started a little catering company that used local foods. I'm very much a self-motivated person, clearly. So I got my feet wet in everything, and I was looking for my niche. How am I going to foster this community that I love so much? I eventually started to realize that we needed legal information, that there were sneaky problems creeping up in our community that we didn't know how to deal with. There were questions we didn't know how to answer. So I figured, how hard could it be? I better go to law school. So that's what I did. I spent the 3 years of law school figuring out what this organization would do, how we would do it, where we would get our money. And I was incredibly blessed to be able to launch it as soon as I graduated law school. Mm. So here we are. That's how we came to be.
How did you first fund your company when you first launched then?
The very first money that I received was a fellowship from Echo and Green. Their support was essential to Farm Commons and where it is today. They believed in me. This young person who had just graduated from law school with a seemingly bright idea. And they believed I could do it and believed it was worthwhile. So I'm tremendously grateful to them.
You know, you and I were talking before we started recording here, and we were talking about how really your vision goes. I mean, your vision for legal services for sustainable farmers is important. You're dedicated to it. It's not a path you're veering off of. But really, you're kind of creating a context that can be applied to almost any legal services situation, aren't you?
Right, right. So I called the organization Farm Commons. Why is that? There's no word law or legal anywhere in there. The name Farm Commons alludes to a broader vision that we have for a legal commons. A legal commons could be a space for a community to make collective decisions about the resources that they share together. Now, the law is that. The law is a resource that we as a community share and possess for our very own. We think about commons as a woodlot or a pasture or something like that, and we all get together and we decide who's going to use it, when, and how. This is a model for where the law itself should go. Let's talk about the status quo. So I'm a small business owner. I've got a question. What we think of in society is, well, I'm going to go to an attorney, and the attorney is going to dispense an answer, and I am going to follow his or her advice and simply do what they say. I think that system is broken. I think that, you know, number one, the business model is suffering right now, but also, what did I learn in that? How are my values manifest in this action? Small business owners, farmers included, of course, are very able to understand how the law affects them and to make decisions about how they want their community to structure itself. That's democracy. That's what democracy is really about. So we want to create a model for a legal commons that goes beyond just sustainable farming. There are other communities, perhaps immigrant entrepreneurs or social entrepreneurs in other sectors. Everyone deserves the ability to shape their community's legal destiny. And they deserve the ability to do that cooperatively and mutually. So knowledge, empowerment, I think we can get there. And we hope to show that in sustainable agriculture.
You launched your company, was it about 2012? Was that about when you launched?
2012.
Yeah. And so when you track your metrics, when you look at how we doing, so what are some measurements that you're using to say, how am I doing? And then how are you doing against your planned metrics?
For Farm Commons to be successful in building a stable, resilient farming community, we certainly need farmers to change some business practices. They're doing things that are non-compliant, or they're not taking advantage of opportunities. Now, I can tell you that 89% of the farmers that we reach make a change to their business within 3 months. So, you know, we reach about 2,000 farmers per year, and that's growing all the time. So We have a really good success rate at inspiring change. We're also really proud that 100% of the farmers who decide to make a change actually follow through on that. So that's actually 89% of farmers who decide to make a change and 100% following through. We know we are actually empowering people in that way, that when we suggest something could change, when we recommend, you know, that farmers follow a best practice, we make it possible for them to actually do that and do that in a meaningful way for their own farm businesses. You know, 65% of the folks who attend our workshop, use our resources, decide to make a change to their business plan. So we know that it's working in that way. We're starting to do a little qualitative assessment as well. If we're succeeding in empowering farmers to build sustainable farm law by and for themselves, we need them to feel more in control of their legal destiny. We need them to feel more confident communicating with attorneys, working with accountants, and other vital business support people. We also need them to feel more secure in their values. Do they feel like the values of sustainable agriculture are being lived out through their business and in the legal parameters that govern them? We're just beginning to assess those more qualitative metrics now that we're confident that business change is occurring. So get back to me, and I'll let you know in the spring when we wrap up with this season's educational work.
Well, please keep us in the loop as you do that. We'd love to know more about what you're finding out. Mm-hmm. When you think about something you've learned on your journey, so you've been at this since 2012, or even you were thinking about it and working in this space even before that. So what's something you've learned that you could pass along to early stage social entrepreneurs?
I think the most important lesson that I've learned through Farm Commons is to listen to the community that you serve. And that's the premise of what Farm Commons really is, too. We don't have some special knowledge simply because we went to law school and we read the laws. The community knows what the community needs. We make it possible. So that ruthless attention to what farmers are saying they want and how they are resolving risk in their own businesses, that's incredibly important. To use my example earlier of, I thought I could meet farmers' needs and for an attorney, and then they would come to this organization and pay us to resolve legal concerns. No, they still don't want that. That's fine. You know, they have good reasons for not wanting to pay an attorney to do that. And my job as the director of Farm Commons is to figure out how to meet the need in a way that they prefer. What do they want? So not being too dead set on an original vision and saying, no, guys, really, I'm solving your problems. You're not solving their problems if you haven't listened to them. Right. You know, what is the problem? How do you want it solved?
If people are looking for Farm Commons online or on social media, where would they look?
Farmcommons.org. Anyone who is looking for our resources, you can find them all there for free. We are increasing our social media presence. We are on Twitter and Facebook, and we have a blog. But I will say, I was finally just able to hire someone who is able to help me with the social media aspect of things. So I know it's getting a really good jump start as of the last few weeks. So thank God I can say that here on your podcast. I am terrible about using the social media stuff.
Yeah. A call to action then. So as people are hanging out with you and me today and they're getting ready to go on with their day, what's something you'd love to see them go and do as a result of this conversation?
That's a tough question because I was thinking, so much of what Farm Commons does is about the value of communication and the value of memorializing our authentic agreements into paperwork. But it's really boring. This is the deepest challenge of Farm Commons is getting beyond some of that boring stuff. So what I would present to people is the next time you're looking at a relationship that could be memorialized in paperwork, think about it as an opportunity. Think about it as an opportunity to enhance your communication and build your trust between yourself and that person. Think about things that might go wrong and ways you're going to prevent them. That's good legal work. You've done it. Congrats. Yeah.
Well, Rachel, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. And while you're at it, will you do me a favor? Subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. It really helps others to find these stories of changemakers who are making a difference in the world. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.